the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Good will to the people of this land.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have a picture now. Really looks beautiful.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Scene Fronteras, and I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you, so you can always call in, 917-889-3068. Now, remember, that's a American number. If you're listening to us in the United States, then you have to go through all the codes or anything, but that is the USA number. But you can always email us. You can always email us at musicscenefronteras@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners here on CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates and the Artistic Echoes and Canalside Radio Network in the UK, and especially everybody listening to us right now here on Blog Talk Radio. So again, if you have any questions or comments, or you want to talk with the guests, call us or send us an email. If you're listening to us on a podcast or you're listening to us in England, you can still email questions and we will forward them on to our guest. And as always, remember, we're in Mexico, and Mexico is a joyfully musical and really noisy country, right? Our studio is downtown and our soundproofing is pretty good, but you know, you still may hear the odd gas truck, marching band, horse, or just plain people coming out of the bar across the street singing because they're really, really happy. Okay. Well, some musicians just make you happy. Our next guest has been doing that quite joyfully on her own, but from a drum kit behind other bands. Now she has decided to come out in front with her guitar and her wonderful voice, and that makes me and a whole lot of other people even happier. South LA native Maria Blues plays a fusion of ska, reggae, Latin American rhythms, and she adds a little hint of soul. Her music is inspired by a diverse range of stars, you know, ranging from Amy Winehouse all the way to Juan Gabriel. She's previously played drums with several LA ska bands, and she's now raising her guitar and taking her vocals to the stage. She released her first album in December entitled Look Who It Is, and we have it. But even better, we have her with us today. Maria, welcome to Music Scene Fronteras.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Are you on cell phone?
Yes. Hi, how are you, Patrick? Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I'm really glad that you're able to do it. I heard you recently on the radio show of a friend of mine, Mark Torres, and I could tell you're going to be a fun guest. Mark and I are very good friends, and we're up to lots of no good together. But well, it's not as much.
Fun. Yeah, I realize this. A few weeks ago.
Well, I realize it's not as much fun sitting on a cell phone as it is sitting in a radio studio, but we'll change that at some point. Well, let's say, first of all, you're from South Los Angeles. And for my listeners who are not familiar with the music capital of the world, you know, all my listeners in the rest of the United States and in Mexico and in England, South LA is a hotbed of Latino fusion music, and it's the home of many Latino rock bands, ska bands, Latino everything bands. It's one of the most vibrant musical scenes in the country. And so this musical creativity, which has been going on since the 50s, is in your hood and it's in your blood. But you started
Definitely.
With the drums. How did it happen that you started with the drums?
So the way that music just came into my life was at a very young age. I would say that the beginning of an interest was when I was about like 8 years old, and I didn't know, you know, that I was exposed to something that not a lot of kids were, you know. I happened to have like a teacher that came in, and she was like, hey, I need, you know, people, kids that are interested. So I started playing the flute there. And then I did that for about a year, and then I forgot about music. And so when I was in like high school as a teenager, I had a couple of friends that were already musicians, and they were like, hey, we need a drummer. We're not really sure who can play drums. We want a girl to play drums. And so they asked me if I'd be interested in learning. And at first I said no. At first I wanted to play the guitar. But they insisted because they didn't have a drummer. So they actually helped me buy my first drum set. And that's how it happened. It was kind of natural. As soon as I had the drum kit, it's like I was just able to play off the bat somehow.
That is a remarkable story, because at that time, I don't think female drummers were that frequently seen on stage. Now, I know that's changed a lot with Sheila. What?
Yeah, it wasn't. This was like, I started playing drums, I would say like in 2004. It was when I was like in like a teenager, like 2003, 2004. And there was no girl drummers at all, up to maybe like 5 years ago that I started to see more women musicians out in the LA scene and the South Central scene.
Well, of course, now we have Sheila E. and Cindy Blackman and Mytel Cohen and Valerie Franco and many others on the drum kit. But so it looks like you, first of all, that you really had some great friends, and secondly, you paved the way. So now I know what lit the fire inside of you to move, but now I want to know what lit the fire inside of you to move up to the microphone with your guitar and show us all your luscious voice.
Well, when I started playing drums, like I said, my main interest was guitar. So I just did the drums because, one, it's really fun just to take on anger, you know, on the drums. So that was fun, but I always had it in the back of my head that I wanted to play guitar. I've always been drawn to, like, melodies, and I've always noticed the vocals without actually knowing, you know, that I could sing. So I eventually started picking up the guitar as well, even though I was playing drums. And I was that band member that would just try to jump around everywhere. If I had, you know, if we took a break in rehearsal, I'd go and pick up the bass and things like that. So I was just very curious about creating other than just drumming. So I, over the years, I discovered that I can sing. You know, a few people, you know, close friends would hear me maybe like mess around, and they would say like, hey, like, you know, your voice is actually nice, that you should try singing. And I would just kind of brush them off, like, oh, I don't know, or something like that. But eventually I got into a band where they allowed me to play guitar a few years, like maybe like 10 years after that, I started playing drums. And then that's where it all sparked, that I could write music and that I can sing.
Well, we should give our audience a little sample of what that music that you write and you wrote in that voice sounds like. So I want to play a little bit of your hit song, Rude Monkey. Here we go.
You woke up angry.
You know, Maria, it's a good thing I have this long, flexible cord on my headset because I'm up dancing. That is such a great piece of music. Now, that's an original song. You wrote that. And I yes. hesitate to ask, but I'm going to. Where did the idea for that song come from?
That idea is actually written about a friend that is always kind of in a bad mood or just kind of upset at just like minor things that I think, you know, this person shouldn't get upset about. So it was just one of those things that it just reminded me that sometimes, you know, we're going to work and we're not really happy with what we're doing. So we're just kind of grumpy at the world. So it's basically, Rude Monkey is basically somebody going to work and just being grumpy because they're, you know, they're going to their 9-to-5.
Well, you know, I recall seeing a video of you at LA's famous La Cita dance venue, and you certainly are no Rude Monkey. You're having a good time. And everybody out on the dance floor was having a great time, too. They love to move to your groove, right? But speaking of groove, your stage name is Blues, but your music is not. So I know there must be a story there. You want to tell our audience why an island-influenced Latina drummer and singer decided to call herself Blues?
Well, it all mainly came from a song called The Mary Blues from one of my favorite artists, Manu Chao. So I was actually driving once to a rehearsal, and it was when I started to think about becoming a solo artist. And I said, well, I don't know what I would call myself. That's, you know, it's a really challenging thing to know what you want to be called or anything like that when it comes to a band or even just yourself. And so I was driving, and as I was thinking of what should my name be, that song came on, The Mary Blues. And so I figured, well, maybe it's a sign. My name is Maria. And so I just added the blues to it in reference to that song and to that artist. That's, you know, one of my favorite artists.
Well, of course, that was one of Manu Chao's early songs that came off his 2001 Esperanza album. And it's a good choice, mm-hmm. you know. That song has been downloaded over 5 million times. So maybe some of that's going to rub off on you. Yeah, you know, we'll check in next week and see if you've got 5 million downloads. after this radio broadcast, of course you will. Me and Mark together are going to see to it that happens. Now, there's another song on the album, on your album, that really kind of grabbed me, particularly the vocals in it. So I want to have everybody listen a little bit to What a Crazy Night. Here it is.
Yes.
I don't know if I should say.
another song that makes me happy that I have a long, flexible chord on that. Now, your voice in that song, your vocals, they're just perfect for the rhythm, and especially with the backup vocals that come on. And I especially like the breakdown at the end of the song with what sounds like a clarinet or a trumpet, and it changes up the mood of the songs very nicely, but it gives your voice space to really shine. Did you write that on purpose so you could really get out there and vocalize?
You know, it wasn't on purpose. It was one of those things where we were in the middle of, you know, jamming out the song. Because the way that the writing works is, like, the musicians, the ones that back me up, I just, you know, come in with the songs, and I'm like, hey, you know, can we try this? Can we try that? I'm trying to put things together. So one of the times where we were jamming, I think we just kind of felt that change, and it just kind of sort of happened. And then after we got the groove down, we just, you know, I just started thinking what can go here and what can go here. But it was not on purpose, definitely not. It was something that it just magically happened at one rehearsal.
Well, your instincts are certainly good, right? Now, you wrote all the songs on the album, and that's really unusual for a first album. You know, most artists want to put a couple of, you know, well-known songs on the album so listeners will immediately recognize them and then go explore the others. But you didn't do that. So how did you decide what to put on your debut vocal album, and why did you take a chance on just all original songs?
Well, I've been, you know, like I said, I've been trying to, like, learn guitar for, you know, as probably deep in as drums. So maybe now I've been playing guitar for maybe, I would say, like, 5-6 years. And so when I would, you know, feel a certain way or feel like a story should be told, like, I'll try to write lyrics to it. So all of these songs are like a collective of what I've experienced, either from my own experience, or like maybe I'm writing from like my friend's perspective, or like Rude Monkey, I'm writing to what I see my friend doing, you know. So all of these songs, it's kind of like very personal music to me. So I just really wanted to put something that meant a lot to me, opposed to just wanting to, like, get famous or something like that.
Okay, well, it was a good choice. And, you know, you did take a risk there, and the risk worked. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Right. Let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Maria Blues, and you can talk with her, too. You can call us in, or you can email us. We've got a lot of emails, so why don't we turn to the emails, and we're going to start with New York City. Rianne in New York City wants to know, why did it take you so long to come out as a singer?
I think this goes back to just not being sure that, you know, it was going to work out, or not being sure that it was in me. I think it was a growth process. I think little by little, I became the musician that I am now. A lot of artists, you know, suffer from like self-doubt and things like that. So I want to say that that's the main thing. And then along the way, I just, little things would just start to empower me and make me feel that, you know what, like, if this person is doing it, like, I can do it. So it was just like figuring myself out throughout the years.
Esteban in Los Angeles, your hometown, wants to know, do you play straight rock and roll on the drums? Is it easier or harder to play rock and roll on the drums than it is to play Latin rhythms? I think he may be a possible drum player or learning drum player.
Oh, I do play rock and roll. I mean, when I started playing drums, like to punk, to rock and roll, to alternative. And then, you know, as I got better, then I started exploring other genres. And I do think that Latin music, it is a little more difficult than rock and roll. The time signatures are different. There's something called clave. So all of those grooves are mainly felt, the more than anything. You can get the technical aspect of it, but you definitely need to feel it when you're playing it.
Okay. All right. So I can tell our potential bateria that that it works. Just to keep on keeping on. Heidi in San Diego. That's what you did. Heidi in San Diego wants to know, have you ever played here in SD, and do you ever play in Mexico?
I have not. I've played in San Diego with some of my previous bands, but that was maybe like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or so. But as Maria Blues, I have not gone to San Diego or Mexico, and that is something that I'm working on because I definitely want to go visit you.
Well, please do. Guadalajara
yes.
is a
Guadalajara.
Lot like Los Angeles. It's a big, spread-out city full of lots and lots of young people and lots of music venues. And
nice.
I know them all. Oh, yeah. It's in fact, there's a part of Guadalajara that's like Hollywood. It's called Colonia Americano. And there's this big street, Avenida Chapultepec, right down the middle, six lanes on either side, and then a big meridian in the middle. And in the meridian, at night, there are food trucks and dance bands and all sorts of things. And on either side, it's just lined with restaurants and bars and nightclubs. So come on down to Guadalajara. It's a lot of fun. Okay, we got time for one more email here. And this is from somebody in Guadalajara, as a matter of fact.
nice.
I think my engineer is doing that on purpose. Are you doing that on purpose? Nope. He says that just came in. Okay. Rigoberto in Guadalajara wants to know, when did you discover you could sing, and was the first performance scary? And Rigoberto, thank you for the English, because I have a feeling you're probably usually right in Spanish.
So I discovered that I could sing maybe towards the end of high school when I was maybe like around 17, 18 years old. I had like a mini concert at school that somehow I landed like the lead singer without wanting to, sort of. And that's the first time that I actually got compliments for my voice, like from a live audience. And it was so scary. I don't even remember half of it. I'm not sure how I got through with it, but that was my first experience.
Sounds like it wasn't too scary, right? All right. Well, Rigoberto, if she manages to go to Guadalajara, maybe we might see her at Chango Voodoo or the C2 Rooftop or one of the other great clubs there. So you should follow her, which leads me to the question, Maria. How do people follow you online?
I am on Instagram at Maria Blues Music, or you can also on Facebook, Maria Blues, or you can also look up mariablues.com, and then there you see all my YouTube channels and, you know, the Instagram or Facebook.
Okay. All right. So everybody out there should follow her, and I assume you're going to post your performances. On your
I'm pretty active. I'm pretty active on Instagram and Facebook. So any updates or any shows or just any new music out, I'll be posting it there.
Okay. Well, you know, I've noticed that you have said that as a Latina, you want your music to give voice to people who can't speak, especially women. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. But it seems like you're catching the beginning of a wave of Latinas in music. What we saw the Super Bowl halftime with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira and Mexican and Puerto Rican flags. We saw Rosalia at the Grammys. We have got rising stars like Francisca Venezuela and Isa and Ali J, who also has a Latin Grammy. So do you think that Latinas are finally getting their due in the music world, or is there still a long way to go?
I think that it's just the beginning. I think that we are just getting stronger by the minute. So I definitely do see way more artists, and it's so awesome to see that, you know, we're just putting ourselves out there. And it's one of those things where we're here, kind of deal with it. You know, we're going to continue to push forward. I think it's just the very beginning. I think we have a long way to go, but it's only just going to make us stronger.
Great. I hope to see a lot more of that, and I'm sure I will. Well, we're getting a little tight on time, but we're not too tight because I do want to play one of the Spanish songs from the album. And, you know, Estudio Español, pero mi Español es no bueno. So if I mispronounce this, let me know. You got to start someplace. I'm living in Mexico. I've got to learn to speak the language, and I can kind of function. But there's a couple of combinations of letters that I never quite get right, and one of them is Alguien mejor que yo. Did I say that right?
That is perfect. You got it. Yes.
Yay! I'll tell my Spanish instructor you said so. Okay. All right. Here we go. Alguien mejor que yo. Alguien mejor que lo. And
yes.
We were having a conversation about Spanish off air while we were playing that music. And you were saying that depends on what generation you're in as a Chicano, whether or not you speak Spanish. You want to explain that to our listeners who may not even know what a Chicano is?
Yes. So for myself, just speaking from my point of view and what I've noticed, you know, amongst my peers that are Chicanos, a Chicano means that you are born, you know, in the United States, but come from like a Mexican descendant. And usually Chicanos are like first generation, meaning that our parents are from Mexico and came over to the U.S. for a better life. So we'll be like the first ones that are like fluent in English. So usually for first generation, we still speak Spanish. Like, we're still able to be fluent in Spanish and English. But I have noticed that maybe second generation, like let's say that I had kids, they probably wouldn't be as fluent in Spanish, you know, to my observation. I mean, there's still some that continue to keep the culture. But for the most part, if you might be like second, third generation, maybe the Spanish won't be as fluent.
Okay, and of course, I'm not even of a generation at all, but I'm doing my best here, right? And maybe next year when you come back for another entrevista, we can do it in Espanol. But let's talk a little bit about... Yes, all right, we'll see. And then you can correct my Spanish all through the show, right? I'll tell my Spanish instructor she's got to listen to that and take notes.
Notes, huh?
I want to talk a little bit about the song we just heard, Alguien Mejor Que Lo. When I listened to that the first time, I had this image of you in a long, sparkling gown on the stage at the Hotel Nacional in Havana in the 50s, mesmerizing a room full of movie stars, okay?
Wow, I love that.
That's exactly how you sound. And it's a breakup song, but
that
you do it with
amazing.
So much glamour.
Wow, I love it.
Okay, so now you're going to go out and get yourself a great gown and see if you can get yourself booked at the Hotel National.
I'm going to be like, I want to recreate Patrick's vision.
Okay. Well, I think you can do it at the Edison in downtown Los Angeles, okay? But
There you go.
You have said that song makes you sad. You don't sound sad, but does it make you sad?
Well, the lyrics itself, it's kind of one of those things where you're breaking up with somebody that is, you know, your soulmate. You can say it's your soulmate or like the love of your life. Yet things are not really working out anymore. So you're just kind of wishing them well to, you know, find true happiness in someone else. So, I mean, maybe musically or like melody wise, if you're not really paying attention to lyrics, it doesn't sound too sad. But if you were to really listen to what the song is saying, then yes, that's one of the songs that I can't help but to feel emotional when I sing it.
Well, that's good. I mean, that also means the rest of us feel emotional, too, whether we're in the Hotel Nacional or not. Okay. Yeah, you let me know, okay, if you do that. You know, like I say, the Edison in L.A. would probably be a perfect place for you. Because a lot of people show up there in tuxedos and things, so... be a great
that,
Valentine. No, it wouldn't be.
Stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking it'd be a wonderful song for Valentine's Day, but maybe not. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're having too much fun, and the clock is telling us that it's singing its breakup song to us. It's that we're out of time here. But before we go, we want to let people know a few things. Do you have any performances coming up?
I do. I have a performance coming up in March 14th at Catch One in Los Angeles. Headlining band will be the Scatterlights.
Ooh. Oh, that's going to be a great show. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. The Scatterlights are originals. They are legends.
Oh, I know. And congratulations for being on stage with them. And I'm sorry I'm 1,600 miles away. Okay. Now, you people can follow you best on Instagram and on Facebook. Is that
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I follow you on Instagram, and it's a lot of fun. You have a lot of fun all the time.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Maria, I want to thank you for taking time to have fun with us. It's been
thank
a blast,
you,
and I really love you and your music.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much. Maybe one day I will be in Guadalajara.
I hope so, and you better let me know. Yeah. Or
yeah.
If you start planning that, maybe I can call a couple of the club owners that I know and
awesome.
See what we can do about that. And, you know, there's the International Latin American Music Convention is in Guadalajara at the end of May every year. It's called FIMPRO, FIMPRO. And our listeners, I'm sure, are going to find this very interesting. It's at the Universidad de Guadalajara, which has 285,000 students. It's a pretty big place, but it has two music schools, and it has two giant arena theaters, and they bring in bands from all over Latin America and Canada. I'm not sure how Canada got to be Latin America, but it is. No American bands. American bands can attend, but they don't play. But generally what they have is about 40 or 50 bands that do showcases over the 3.5 days. It's like 3.5 days of music and tequila. It's a great event. And then all the clubs around in Guadalajara, the Universidad buys out many of the clubs, and they have nighttime showcases. But many bands from America, many artists from the United States come because the music industry of Mexico is there. All the radio hosts, all the labels, the music supervisors, etc. In fact, last year the guest of honor was the music supervisor from Disney, and everybody wanted to know, are you going to do another Coco and can you use my music? So it's a great excuse to come to Guadalajara. And it's very inexpensive. If you stay on after we finally sign off, I'll tell you all about it. But in the meantime, I do have to sign off. So I want to remind our listeners that you've been listening to Maria Blues. You can follow her on Facebook and Instagram. You can check her out at www.mariablues.com. You can stream her on Spotify. And you can buy her music on all the usual online platforms. And I'll also remind you that you've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from the Blog Talk Radio Network and the CyberStation USA Network and all of our radio affiliates here and in the United Kingdom. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Jason Bartlebin, and our program director is Lars Christensen. Download this show and all of our other shows, Music Sin Fronteras programs, at Blog Talk Radio, and we're also on iTunes. So if you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, you can. Tune in next week. We've got we're talking to a number of different bands and musicians right now about coming on the show next week. So I can't tell you which one right now. So follow our Twitter stream and also our Facebook page, and we will update you immediately on that. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tenor un gran fin de semana musical. And now here's some more of the great, wonderful music we've been listening to from Maria Blues. What a Crazy Night by Maria Blues, and we'll see you all next week.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.